Welcome to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. Of course, this is brought to us every week by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, formerly Communities That Care, is headed up by Carla Smith. She's the executive director. Carla, welcome back. Always a pleasure.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
And you have brought another guest with you.
I have.
Someone you know very well.
Yes, that's right. Our offices are right next door to each other. So we do know each other very well. Lisa Orison is the program coordinator at Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. And I would like her to talk about some of the programs that she works on.
She's also chair for the Reno County Suicide Prevention Coalition. I'd like to sneak that in as well.
That's right.
Maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to talk about there. It's an important role and an important coalition that's doing some really great work.
So today's topic is mentoring. But before we get to Lisa, Carla, I always like you to explain to our listeners what the whole purpose of Rise Up Reno Prevention Network is, where you're located, how people contact you. And if they want to suggest a topic or a guest for this show, they're always welcome to reach out.
Always. You bet. We have lots of ways to contact us. If you go to our website, riseuprino.org, you can find all of our contact information and our social media outlets. So you're welcome to follow us on social media and comment to us, email us, give us a call. Our phone number is 620-615-4018. We're glad to take your comments. We would love to hear your input. We have a coalition. Our coalition is built of people just like you. We want everybody and anybody who has a voice to come and be heard. Our goal and our mission is to reduce underage drug and alcohol misuse. Of course, tobacco has been an issue this year, and we just want to see kids be successful. So if you have a desire to see kids be successful, then we invite you to join the team.
Yep. And of course, so you've got the coalition. So, yeah, and we're going to talk about mentoring. Obviously, you need mentors
right,
as well.
Right. We always need volunteers, volunteers at the coalition, volunteers to be mentors. Lisa's going to talk more about how that looks. There's several different opportunities there. We even need volunteers to work with high school kids. So anytime you are looking for a volunteer job or know somebody who is, we can plug you in once a week, a half hour a week, an hour a week, an hour a month, whatever it is that you're looking for, give us a call, 615-4018, and we'd be glad to talk to you about it.
And of course, you do a thorough background check on all the volunteers.
Yes,
so these are good people working with our kids.
That's right. We do background checks. It's required for most of the school districts, but USD 308 is really adamant about that. We don't even have parents that go on field trips without having background checks. So that's important part of just making sure that everybody's safe. But we also do a training and just make sure they know what they're doing and that they are helpful and not harmful.
Well, without further ado, we bring in Lisa Orison. Again, she's going to talk to us about mentoring. So Lisa, thanks for coming in, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
This is not your first time here. You've been in once or twice before, at least.
Sure. Yes.
So first of all, what program coordinator are you? What specialty do you have?
My specialty is the mentoring program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're the right woman for the job.
I am. I guess that's why Carla had me come.
Yeah. Okay. So what is a mentor? Tell us what your definition of a mentor is.
A mentor is a friend. It's someone who you can turn to, talk to, run things by, just someone that is a good listener.
And it helps to look up to them and respect them as well.
You betcha.
Yeah.
And young people need to have that. Everybody needs to have a mentor. You know, whether you're 15 or 85, there's always someone who needs someone.
We all need some help, and there's no doubt about that. And Carla's looking at me like, I still need a lot of help. Maybe she can be my mentor.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I have a lot of mentors. I've been very fortunate to have some mentors in business and just in life in general. And we have foster kids. And if it hadn't been for the people who inspired us, you know, we'd never do all of the things we do.
Yeah, we'd never get the most out of ourselves.
That's right.
That's right. And when you think back, you know, about your life, you can always think of four or five people, you know, that really stuck out to you. I will never forget my fifth and sixth grade elementary school teacher. She was firm and she was fair and she was enjoyable to be around. And most people have someone like that.
What's her name?
Janet Infield was her name.
Is she still around?
Well, I know Jan.
Do you really?
I used to work with her.
Well, she was the greatest teacher I ever had. Yeah. Really liked her.
I'll be darned. Is she still around here?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Jan, if you're out there, we miss you. Hopefully you're still around here.
Oh, she's going, she wouldn't know me by my married name, but, you know, she's probably thinking, oh, she turned out all right.
Yeah. Well, and I'm with you, Lisa. I remember my fourth grade teacher and a couple of coaches, mm-hmm. Three or four in particular, that helped me along the way and gave me some guidance, gave me some discipline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back in my day, I did get one time the SWAT with the paddle with the holes drilled in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just horrible, but I remembered the lesson that I never did again.
Right.
So when I think of Rise Up Reno Prevention Network and I think of the mentoring system, the first thing that comes to my mind is your high schoolers that will go down and be with, mentor, coach the younger kids. But obviously the mentoring program involves a lot of adults too.
You're right.
That's the main focus, actually.
Yes, it is the main focus. But seeing as how you brought it up, I will touch on that. We have high school students who go every day of their school week, and they mentor to students in the younger grades at the elementary schools or at the middle schools. And they can do anything from helping that teacher, you know, the teacher has a pretty good sized classroom. And so if there's a kiddo who's fallen behind, those high school students can help them catch up, or they can, you know, help them have someone to play with on the recess, because sometimes kids are cruel to each other. And so I've sent high school fellas over to you know, have someone for those kiddos to play with on recess, which is really neat. And so the high school students love it. The teachers are getting help. And the younger kids are looking up to those high school kids. And usually the high school students that we have going over are fantastic role models.
Those high school kids, just interrupted you, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The high school kids also get a class credit for that, or a half a credit per trimester that they do it. So it's a great experience, and a half credit that goes towards graduation.
Right. And they can letter. In mentoring.
Really?
Now.
I
yes.
didn't know that.
Yeah, they can letter just like they would in a sport. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting, because, you know, there's a lot of those kids who go over to mentor who maybe are thinking about education when they go off to college. So it's a great taste of what that might be like.
So a couple Thursdays ago, my wife and I, who, by the way, I should probably disclose, is she president of the board now?
She is president of our board now. We haven't abused her too much yet, but she's on my list.
It might be the other way around.
Maybe. We may get some mentoring and discipline.
Yeah. So our nephew's at HMS 7 and plays on the basketball team. So we've been able to watch him a few times. But they brought in, I think, most all of Allen Magnet School students to watch that game.
Oh, that's neat.
And,
that's,
you know, great. As they were making the announcements, they were saying, you know, for the little kids, enjoy this. We want you to see what seventh grade looks like and what your future holds. And I mean, it was loud, and these kids were having a great time. And so
awesome.
I just think about how these younger ones obviously look up, you know, to they're not their peers, but close.
Right. And that's what I always stress to those high school students when they're going over to the elementary schools. Make sure that no matter where you're at, you're setting a good example, because those kids will see you at a football game, at Third Thursday, at, you know, out downtown shopping.
And they're watching.
They sure are. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So how does one become a mentor in the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network program? What's the steps? Carla kind of walked us through the criteria.
Sure.
As far as screenings and all that. But what can we expect? What do we need to give? And what do you tell people who think, I don't have anything to offer? They probably can't use me. So I'm not even going to try.
I would tell them that everyone has something. You know, even the shyest person has something to give. And so I would say, if you're interested in mentoring, just give us a call. I would love to talk to you about ways that you can be plugged in somewhere. And that may look different for other, you know, for different people. But if you're thinking that's maybe what you want to do, just give us a call. There's a training, a one-time training that you do. And
would that be half a day, 3 hours, 2 hours?
That is about an hour long.
Okay.
Yeah. And we alternate. So we have them every other one, we alternate. So we do one at 9:30 in the morning, and then the next time we'll do one at 5:30 in the evening.
Is there a cost to it?
There's no cost.
Okay.
We run the background screening for you. There's no cost to that. So you go to the training, you fill out the paperwork, Once that's turned in, we run your background screen. It comes back clear, and then you're ready to start. And then that is when it gets fun, because you get to choose what you do. And like Carla was saying, maybe it's a half hour a week, maybe it's an hour a week, maybe you want 2 days a week, or, you know, a half an hour a month. Whatever works with your schedule, we can usually find something for
you. And
I
believe Carla has said that this is all essentially done on campus in a school setting. It's not like Big Brothers Big Sisters. This is a little bit different than that.
Right. This is school-based mentoring. So it takes place at school, during school hours, or at a school-sanctioned activity, like a field trip or something.
So if I want to volunteer and say I want to help a kid at Morgan, or a kid at Allen, or HMS 7-8, or the high school, you'll try and place us where we want to be?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have openings at every school. If you want to go over to the high school, we can get you hooked up with that too. But there's people in all the schools who are saying, hey, do you have a volunteer that can mentor one-to-one? Or could someone come in and help my students read? Or, you know, could someone come and sit with Jane while lunch is taking place? So, you know, just helping kids get that social skill where they can talk to their peers, or helping them read where they're, you know, catching on to the fluency and the comprehension. And there's just tons of ways that you can help.
So what children in school qualify to have a mentor or need a mentor? How do you determine which kids need a mentor and get one?
So either the counselor, principal, teacher, someone has to send me a referral form for that student. And it can be their parent saying, hey, I would like my kid to have a mentor. They send me a referral form, which you can call me for, and I can email it to you or mail it out to you or however works best. I get the referral form, talk to the teacher, what are the days that works best, what times work best, and we will match your student with a volunteer. I don't just say, oh, well, I got a warm body here. Here you go. I try to match what that student is like to a volunteer and match them the best of us.
So you're always looking for mentors. Do you have, are all the kids that need a mentor getting one, or are you very short? What's the ratio?
Right now, I have young boys who need mentors. Unfortunately, not a lot of men have, they don't think they have the time to volunteer.
Let me just cut to the chase. I'm assuming you have a lot more women who are mentors than you do men.
Yes.
Would that be probably, that is 90% women, 10% men, maybe?
Maybe, yes.
Because that's typically what I'm hearing from anybody who's looking for volunteers or mentors. It's usually women who are doing the volunteering.
Right.
Now, there are a fair amount of men doing it, but whatever the reason is, you both would like to see that ratio changed a little bit.
I would, because typically it's the young boys who are needing the mentors. And I can't very well stick a woman with a young boy and expect them to have some sort of connection.
Right.
Not as well as I could if I had a male mentor for him.
Well, and I'm also assuming that, you know, some of these kids that, you know, need a mentor, they may come from a two-parent household. I mean, that there may not be any troubles.
Right.
It's just how it is. And then others, of course, single parent. There may be, you know, drug history in the family. There may be just some horrible things going on. And there's about a million reasons why somebody would need to have a mentor as a child.
Yes, you are correct. A lot of the young males who don't have a father figure in the home, they need a male role model. And that's why it's so important that we have these men who are saying, I'm willing to help.
And again, the time commitment is, do you have to do it every week?
You do not.
Okay.
You can do every other week. You can do once a month. For a good mentoring program to work, ideally, it's once a week, a half an hour. Sometimes the student will have 45 minutes. Sometimes they have a half an hour. You know, it's just what works best with a school schedule and what works best with the volunteer schedule.
So, Carla and Lisa, I want to hear maybe some stories of what you both have witnessed, because Carla came up through the ranks. She was promoted to the president, essentially. But you surely, this program's been going on long enough where some of these kids have graduated. They'll come back and say hi or whatever, and they'll say, boy, I remember, you know, John Smith or Ann whoever, if I didn't have that mentor, my life might have turned out completely different for the worse.
Right. And I've been doing this for about 8 years now. And so we've had a volunteer who followed her mentee all the way through high school and then helped her enroll for college. And, you know, there's not very many that are that have that story, but I do have a volunteer now who has been seeing her match all the way through, and now he's in high school, and it's working out really, really well. So I think it's a great program. It's great to have someone on your side when you're a kiddo in such a tough world sometimes.
Yeah, so the mentor's their advocate for the child, and Carla, this is in a sense giving these children some hope.
It does give them hope. It gives them a chance to see people who are successful, because, you know, we're not bringing in people who are homeless or bringing them in for jail. We're bringing in people who are successful, who want to pay attention to them and give them time. And what more could a kid value than somebody's time and attention? Whether they're coming from a single parent home, like you said, or whether they are a boy matched with a professional woman or a man, either way, there's always that opportunity for them to just build a relationship and give them attention. So a lot of times we see that the kids are excited to see that person come, and they know they're going to come every week. So they quit having as many tardies, and they show up for school, and they maybe wash their hair. And, you know, they start having better skills besides just the reading or the sitting still during class. So we're working with them on, you know, one or two academic things, but it affects so many other parts of their life. It's very important.
You're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. This is brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. And sorry, Lisa, I cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say, on top of all the things that Carla just mentioned, a student or a youth that has a mentor, they're 46% less likely to start using illegal drugs or alcohol.
Well, that's a good head start.
Yes. So that's how it all ties in with Rise Up Reno being drug and alcohol prevention for youth. Is the mentor piece helps those kiddos stay drug and alcohol free.
Now, I didn't ask either one of you to bring any statistics in, but I know you've got a few off the top of your head. And Carla, the numbers that you quote on this show, and I didn't know it until you and I started doing this show, that there were these surveys taken in the district. Mm-hmm. So the numbers you give are Reno County kids who fill out the survey.
That's right.
It's anonymous, so they have nothing to worry about, any repercussions or anybody being mad at them.
Right.
Some of these numbers are pretty staggering on the negative side.
They are. I think that one of the numbers that we've talked about a lot is just depression and kids who feel even suicidal. Those numbers are so high. And if they have somebody in their life that's on their side, somebody that's paying attention, somebody that's going to notice if they're missing, that's a big deal. And starting that younger and younger these days. So I think that mentoring is a part of that. As far as a stat on that, I believe that kids who report that they have felt depression in the last year for more than 2 weeks at a time is around 30%. And that's a pretty big bunch of kids. I mean, 30% is a lot of our kids who are really struggling. And then it's almost 20% who say they've actually felt suicidal. So when kids start saying that, we've got something we really need to be working on. And yes, that might lead them to drugs and alcohol, but what if it leads them to something worse? And that's really something that we want to make sure that we're addressing as well. We want to put all the factors in place we can to protect those kids. And that's just one of them. Mentoring is definitely one of them. Also, we have a coalition that works specifically on suicide prevention. And Lisa is the chair for that. And I'll let her talk even more about suicide prevention.
So we meet on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock at the USD 308 administration office. If you're interested in ever joining us for a coalition meeting, we're always looking for more people to join us. Our goal is to help people stay safe. And so we promote the Lifeline, the National Lifeline number, and the text line, and we go to health fairs and try to spread that news.
So there are so many stigmas associated with so many different things that if you are suffering from this or that, you don't want to tell anybody, you're afraid you're going to be laughed at or put down or shunned. I don't know how we ever get over that because we've got human nature involved here. And
right. True.
We're pretty cruel creatures at the core for some
True.
Reason. So I assume a mentor can obviously help these kids say, look, I went through that same thing when I was your age, and here's how I worked through. I mean, there's all sorts of ways the mentors can help these kids.
Right. I think a lot of kids are really scared to say something if they're having those thoughts or feelings. And with a mentor, that's someone who has been with them every week, you know, and they've built this relationship. And hopefully that is someone that they can say, you know, I've been having some thoughts or feelings that I don't think are quite right or are not quite like how I usually am. And then that mentor can, you know, get them some resources.
So walk us through. Wow, we've only got 3 minutes left. So real quick, let's say that you or Carla or somebody hears a child directly say, I have thought about suicide or I'm thinking about suicide. Obviously, that is a huge red flag waving. What's the process there? Who do you tell? I mean, what happens?
Well, in our case, we are in the schools. So my first go-to would be the school principal or the counselor, the school nurse, someone who can get that kiddo some help. And you know, the school district has a great policy on what their protocol is, and that might be a good topic for Rick next time he's on.
Yeah. But it's safe to say it is not ignored.
Absolutely not.
And it also doesn't mean that the principal goes right to that room and snatches that kid out of the seat.
No.
It's a pretty delicate process, I'm assuming.
You're right. And, you know, I think that's mainly why so many kids are scared to say something is because they don't know what that is going to look like if they do. And so it's important to let people know that just because you're having these thoughts or these feelings, it's not going to last forever. And there is help available. You know, it's not going to mean that you're alienated from society as it was at one time in life.
Like she said, we want to get them resources. So, you know, the school counselor or the school nurse would be able to help them get an assessment at a mental health facility if necessary. But also, we have, like she said, the numbers that we give out, the text line and
the lifeline.
Lifeline. Mm-hmm. And those numbers are available if they want to call somebody anonymously and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. Just having somebody that can talk to a person who's going through that and be there for them, whether it's to call several times or to call once or to call and find out if they need help, that lifeline is a big deal. So we want to make sure that everybody has that available and knows where to find it, because most people will go through some depression at some time in their life, and people don't always know how to deal with that. So we don't ever want it to get to the point of being suicidal. But it can, so we want people to know where to get help.
Well, suicides happen all the time, even right here in Hutchinson and Reno County.
True.
It's just the obituary never says that. So
right.
you don't see that. It's not thrown out in front
That's
of you unless
true.
You know the family or something like that. Laura, you happen to know that lifeline off the top of your head?
I sure do.
Okay.
It is 1-800-273-8255. And the text line, if you are more comfortable texting someone, you can text hello to 741-741.
That's if you are thinking about suicide. So one more time, the phone number.
The National Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
Lisa and Carla, we always appreciate your time, and thanks for doing the show again today, and we'll see you back next week.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yep, you are welcome. You've been listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show, brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov, and we'll see you right back here next week.